Right, as Adrian said, today our theme is God loves us so much that we can never be separated from him, as he'll always be on our side. So today in our sermon this morning, I'll be talking about the love God has for us and how God's love can never be separated from us. The Bible passage, if I've already read, I'll be basing my sermon on verses 35 to 39. Of which I've just read. Let me give you a bit of background to this letter in Romans. Paul wrote this letter to introduce himself to the Romans and to give a sample of his message before he arrived in Rome. This letter was written in about AD 57 from Corinth. He planned to visit Rome on his way to Spain after first bringing a collection to Jerusalem for the poor Christians there. The letter of Romans was very different in that it reads more like a theological essay. The number of theological themes touched on by Paul was impressive. He covered the subjects of sin, salvation, grace, faith, righteousness, justification, sanctification, redemption, death and resurrection. You see, the Roman church was mostly Jewish, but also it contained a great number of Gentiles. Before we look at the Bible passage, we cannot forget to say a bit about the great Paul. No person apart from Jesus himself shaped the history of Christianity quite like the Apostle Paul. Even before he was a believer, his actions were significant. His frenzied persecution of Christians following Stephen's death got the church started in obeying Christ's final command to take the gospel worldwide. Paul was on his way to Damascus to capture Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem, but God stopped him in his tracks, and there he personally met Jesus Christ, and from there on his life would never be the same. You see, this letter to the Romans can be divided into two sections. The first section is called What to Believe. This covers Romans chapter 1 to verses 11, finishing at verse 36, where Paul talks about how central our faith is to us when we become Christians. And he also gives us advice on how we should live our Christian life, saying that if we did not have our faith, we basically have no life at all. The verses that we're going to take a look at actually fall in this section. Then continuing after these passages, we have section 2, which is called How to Behave. This covers Romans chapter 12 to 16, finishing at verse 27, of which Paul gives guidelines for living as a redeemed people in a fallen world, and what it means to give ourselves to Christ as living sacrifices. So we can now turn to these passages in Rome. Taking a look at verses 31 to 39, these are a celebration of a believer's security as a response to which Paul had just said. He had been talking about the gift of salvation and how God had predestined those who believed in him. These particular verses represent to him, we can divide these verses into two parts. In the first part, namely verses 31 to 34, Paul reminds us that God is for us by giving his Son. And at the same time, God has secured for us all that we need to get through this life and obtain salvation, and that no one then is able successfully to bring any charge against us, to cause us to be condemned in judgment. Paul continues to say that it is God who has chosen us and justified us, and that it is his own Son who answers any accusations brought against us. The second part to this hymn that covers verses 35 to 39 celebrates the love of God in Christ for us. It states that it is impossible to separate us from God's love, as it is to bring a charge against us, and that there is no earthly threat or disaster that can do that. In verse 37, Paul explains that being a believer can result in suffering and that believers have always faced hardships in many forms. Paul reminds us with his quotation of Psalms 44 verses 22, which reads as well in verse 37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Taking a look at verse 35 to 39, Paul also says, "Nor can any spiritual power separate us from God's love," meaning angels, demons, and powers that are mentioned in verse 38, and that there is nothing in creation that can remove us from the new regime in which God's love in Christ reigns over us. There are many examples in the Bible that show the love of Christ and the support that he gives us all. In Exodus chapter 16, verses 36, it reads, "The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they reached the border of Canaan." So God provided food to the Israelites for 40 years. What an incredible feat. Just think about that. This shows us that God will always provide for us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Both Ruth and Naomi shared the deep sorrow and had a great affection for each other. Both these women had an overriding commitment to God, which bonded them together. It couldn't have been easy for these women, especially the relationship they found themselves in. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, you get the picture. So their shared faith kept them together. Obviously, by far the most important demonstration of God's love can be found in chapter 3, verses 16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." I'm sure most of you here will be familiar with how much God loves you. It is practically one of the first things that we comprehend when we ask Jesus into our lives. These verses contain one of the most comforting promises in all Scripture. And I'm sure most of you have been comforted by these powerful verses in times of trials. These verses in Romans can really make us feel secure in Christ's love for us, and that God has literally done all that he can to prove to us that he truly loves us by sending us his Son to die on the cross for us in order to forgive our sins. As a result of this sacrifice, non-believers as well as believers will be secure in the fact that we all have the gift of salvation. These passages also confirm to us that there is no one who can match God's support and love, and there is not one person here on earth or anywhere else that can match what God can and is willing and prepared to do for us through his love for us, and that there is no one who compares to him. Non-believers might bark at the idea that nothing or no one can compete or compare to the power of the love that God can bring to us as Christians. The mind boggles us in our society today. We have a raft of ideas and opinions from people of which we're advised to follow, and if we do what they tell us, our lives will be perfect and we can experience all the love that we need, which non-believers, I understand, can get distracted by. The lure of those charismatic individuals can convince non-believers that their way of living their lives is the right way, and that there is no one else who can compete against them and their views. We as Christians must make non-believers aware that, in fact, we do know of a better person to follow.